of Acts, starting at the very beginning of Acts, Acts chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 1 down to verse 11. That will come up on the screen. If you've got one of the church Bibles, you'll find that on page 909, the first 11 chapters of the book of Acts. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Amen. This is God's word to us this evening. Let's join together in...
Well, if you have your Bibles with you, could you turn, please, to Acts chapter 1? And before we consider a short part of that passage, can we just bow our heads in prayer and ask for the Lord to bless our time together? Let's pray. Dear Lord and Father, we have sung our prayer, but Lord, that you would speak to us, that we would realize again that this word is powerful, but Lord, that this word is true. And Father, we pray that you would encourage us and help us as we sang earlier to realize the heights of the purposes that you have for us. That Lord, that we would understand again that you have called us to be part of your work in this world. And it is a huge privilege to do so. Father, please, may you encourage us and speak to us through your powerful living word this evening. And then, Lord, I do once again ask for the help of your Holy Spirit. Father, please help me to be true to the text and help me to be true to Jesus Christ. For I ask this in his precious and worthy name. Amen. Somebody has once said, the two greatest days of your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. No doubt as Christians we would perhaps want to alter that slightly, for we might want to say the three greatest days of your life was the day you were born, the day you were born again, and the day you find out why. So it might need to be altered slightly, but nevertheless there is a large element of truth in that little statement. Knowing why we are here, knowing what we're meant to do and knowing the purpose of our lives is incredibly important and indeed a great blessing. Of course, I'm sure you're very familiar with the statement in the old Westminster Confession of Faith that tells us the chief end of man, or if you like, the ultimate purpose of man, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. But perhaps the passage we've just read helps identify one of the big ways in which we can glorify God. Because here in the opening part of the book of Acts we have one of those big verses in the Bible which every Christian should know and understand. We have one of those times when what Jesus says should change our whole approach to life. Because here we have one of those statements that tells us why we're here, why God has saved us, and what one of our purposes in life is. Now that's a pretty big claim to make. So what is it in these opening verses of Acts that's so important for us to understand? Well, firstly, it's simply this. It's that Jesus has called us to be his witnesses. So the first thing I want you to note from this passage is the simple fact that Jesus has called us to be his witnesses. Where do we find that? Well, we find it in verse 8, where Jesus tells the disciples that they're to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, anyone who has ever done any study in the book of Acts will tell you that this is an important verse as we try to understand the structure of the book and what comes next. Because this one verse sets the agenda for what follows. But you know, it goes much further than that, because as you read on through the book, you find that not only does this verse set the agenda for the whole book, it also sets the agenda for each and every follower of Jesus Christ. Because the book of Acts is very clear. All of God's people are to be witnesses of Jesus. And that's going to have some pretty big implications for us as God's people, isn't it? So for example, it's good that Christians are concerned for the social welfare of other people. It's good that we should work for justice for some of the most vulnerable people in our world. And of course, as Christians, we should be concerned about the whole moral focus of our country. And so we should try and influence political policy for the good of our nation. All of those things are very important. But the book of Acts is clear when it tells us that is not where our main focus should be. Those things are good, but they should not be an end to themselves. Because according to this passage and many, many others, our main focus as God's people should be in becoming witnesses of Jesus and the wonderful salvation that he has provided for us. And you know, when you look at what Jesus says here, I think the terminology and the words that he uses are very important. Because it helps us understand what we're to do and indeed how we're to do it. You see, in the original language, the word for witness here was taken from the law court. It was basically used in much the same way that we use it today, in that it was used to speak of a person who had been called to testify to certain events that had taken place. And I think that picture or idea is very useful, because it helps correct some wrong thinking about our witness or our testimony of Jesus. So there are some people, and they have the false idea that their testimony or their witness is actually all about them. So it becomes all about their experience of God and their feelings. And of course there are times when that's a legitimate thing to do. But telling people that God makes me so loved, or God gives me such wonderful peace, is not actually what the Bible primarily means when it speaks of us being witnesses of Christ. Instead, imagine for a moment you've seen a car accident. And you're brought to a court of law as a witness. When you're called to give witness, the court does not want to know all about your feelings, because you are not the center of proceedings. No, instead you are there to tell the court the facts of the events. And that's the word that Jesus uses here to describe us. As a witness, we're to tell people about the historical facts and events, not primarily feelings and emotions. So we're to tell people the historical facts about Jesus Christ. We're to tell people he lived a perfect life, died a sacrificial death, rose victorious from the grave, and now is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're also to tell people what that means. That salvation, forgiveness, and acceptance have been provided for sinful men and women and boys and girls. That this is something that everyone needs, and that wonderfully, this new forgiveness and new relationship with God can be ours by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's what it means to be a witness of his. It means he is the center and subject of our testimony, not us. Now, of course, there are times when there are practical restrictions on what we can and can't do. And of course, we need wisdom as we seek to apply this. But it should be obvious that what Jesus says here should have a profound impact on how we see ourselves and indeed how we see other people. So if you're employed, you're a witness of Jesus to your work colleagues. If you're retired or stay at home, you're to be a witness of Jesus to your kids and your grandkids. As you think of your neighbors and friends, as you think of your relatives, the people you meet in the street, the people who come to your door, the people you play football with, whatever it is, you and I are called to be witnesses of Jesus. That's our purpose. That's how the gospel spreads. And that's how the name of our great God is glorified. Now, of course, right about now, you might expect me to really hammer home this point and bring you on a guilt trip about your lack of witnessing for Jesus. After all, there are probably two areas where Christians, it's very easy to make Christians feel guilty. One is their prayer lives and the amount of time they spend in prayer with God, and the second is the whole area of telling others about Jesus. But you know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to bring you on a guilt trip. I'm the last person qualified to do that. No, instead, what I want to do is encourage you in this. And in order to encourage you, I want to very briefly mention one other thing from these verses that's very important. Because, yes, we see here that Jesus has called us to be his witnesses. But the second thing I want you to see from these verses is that Jesus has equipped us to be his witnesses. I want you to see that Jesus has equipped us to be his witnesses. In other words, not only has Jesus given us the task, he's also given us the means to fulfill the task. Now, where do we find this? Well, again, we see it in verse 8. Look at it with me, please, because there we see that Jesus tells the disciples that they're not to do this in their own strength. Instead, he says they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. So it turns out the effectiveness of this mission is not down to their skill and strategy. No, instead, the success of this mission is all down to the vision, power, and faithfulness of God. Because it's the Holy Spirit who will equip them for what's ahead, and it's the Holy Spirit who will enable them to be the witnesses that they should be. And if you read the book of Acts, you will find that simple truth comes shining through again and again and again. The mission goes forward, not because of the smartness or the techniques of the apostles. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And friends, can I remind you, but if you are a Christian here this evening, then you already have the Holy Spirit. Pentecost has already taken place. The promise has already been fulfilled. And so you already have the power to fulfill the task you've been given. Does that mean we will always feel powerful as we're about to tell someone about Jesus? No, of course not. Please remember, God knows about every single one of our weaknesses, and he has made provision. So you may not know what to say, but God's Spirit does. You may feel small and weak and vulnerable, but instead of shrinking back in silence, what we're to do is to go forward in faith and be those witnesses in his power as we rely on his strength. And as we do so, we're to remember who does what. Because we're to remember it's our job to testify, and it's his job to change hearts and lives. So we began by adapting an old saying. We said the three greatest days of our lives is the day we were born, the day we were born again, and the day we know why. Well, in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, we're told one of the big reasons why we've become God's own people. We are to be his witnesses to the world about the truth of Jesus Christ, which sounds quite a scary thing to do. So it's a good job God has made every provision for us through the power of his promised Spirit. Well, I'm sure there's a lot to think about there, but can I finish by telling you a little story which I hope will encourage you? It's a story that's been told to us several times by our general director, who's called Derek Maxwell. I think he was here a year ago in one of our midweek weekends. And it's all about the time he met an old missionary called Molly Harvey from Northern Ireland. Now, when Derek met Molly, she was 92 years old. She was just a little old woman. Derek, who's not hugely tall, I think he's only 5'10", he said that the lady barely came up to his chest, so I've got no idea where she'd come up to me. But she was only a small, old woman, but she was a real character. And she was someone whom God had used. As they were speaking, she told them the story of how God had called her to Brazil to serve him by telling others of Jesus in the Amazon jungle. And it turns out it was quite a story, because she was convinced that the Lord had called her to go to the Amazon, but unfortunately she faced a real battle to get there. And the reason for that is because she had a heart problem, and the doctor said she would never last in the jungle, and so she couldn't go. Well, I can't go into the details, but Molly proved those doctors wrong. She did go to the Amazon jungle in Brazil, and she served the Lord there for over 40 years. And when she met Derek, she said with some amusement that all the doctors who told her she couldn't go to Brazil were dead while she was still alive. Well, then, as our conversation came to an end, Molly turned to Derek, and this is what she said. Derek said, he'll never forget it as long as he lives, and this is what I want you to remember as well. Because this small, frail, old missionary woman said this. She said, don't count your years, but make your years count. That's quite a striking statement, isn't it? It's an important one no matter how young or old we are here. Don't count your years, but make your years count. And as we finish, can I just remind you that one of the big ways we can make our years count is by being faithful witnesses of Jesus. Wherever we are, that's what our Lord has called us to be. Because that's how God's purposes are brought to pass. And that's how we bring glory to His wonderful name.
Well, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's true and trustworthy. We thank you that it's a living word and that it's able to bear fruit in our lives. Lord, we ask that you would indeed help us reflect on what we've heard and that you would help us to make our lives count for you in your world. Lord, we pray for each other. You know us, you know our circumstances, you know our problems, our difficulties, you know our struggles. Lord, strengthen us by your Holy Spirit. Grant us power that we may be your witnesses and that we may bear testimony, faithful testimony to who you are and to all that you've done and that we may do so for the honour and for the glory of your great name. We pray these things through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.